Okay. I believe the hangout has started.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear me okay, right? Okay. So
that actually, it's almost like there's two of you. There's the room, and there's you right up there.
Yeah. This is Ellen.
Dance runs an online site. It's called Learning Together. And every Sunday, what he does is he...
This time on Sunday.
Yeah. You can imagine
just
that it's really quite early.
Yeah.
What he does is he brings people together from all over the world, and they share best practices, and it's really neat. He's been doing it since
2010.
Yeah,
I've been doing.
Yeah, but longer than that, if you count sort of like pre.
He's been doing it for really quite a while.
Yeah.
So what he's doing is he's streaming what we're doing here and now. It's recorded on an archive, and he'll tell you about it in his session. And he has like theorists. He has classroom teachers. He has people that have been, head of call at TESOL, people from ISTE who have participated all over
the
world.
We've had Wesley Fryer has been on our show. Jay George is having you here.
So if he comes up to you and he puts it in your face, know that you're being streamed, Tammy, all over the world, and you will be, posted someplace for a while.
I'm not sure what I got here. It said I was pressing the, unfortunately, I was pressing the screen because I was trying to hold my iPad in. And what should I choose? Close this, maybe? Okay. No? Learn together. Close. I guess I can get it back. Okay. There we go. Am I back?
So this is
I'm back now.
Ways that we share a lot of
can you hear me, Vanessa?
Yes.
Okay.
I can hear you.
Airdrop things.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to my photos. And I use photos and I use a lot of things from notes to share with students and all kinds of other stuff. And what I do is I just tap this button on the left-hand side, lower left-hand side, the box with an arrow that goes up. Sometimes it's over on the right. It can be in many different places. And when I drop it like this, if your airdrop is on, it will be sent to you. So Vance's is on. Do you want me to send it to you, Vance? No?
I've got it already.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to send it to Justin so he knows how to do it. And what will happen is that it will be sent to Justin through AirPlay. He will get a box that comes up that says accept or deny. Okay? So what you guys can do is you can go to your home screen and just swipe up. And where it says airdrop, you airdrop everyone. And you airdrop everyone. This one's like that paparazzi.
You wouldn't want this to go on during your actual presentation.
I feel like I have paparazzi with me. Okay. And so I would go like that, and then Justin could share with me. Okay, so that's really something nice. People will be using it in the conference. Okay, so again, if you would like this iPedagogy wheel as a document, okay, you airdrop everyone. And what I do is I go to the document, wherever it may be, and that's kind of the hardest part when you send things is to remember where it's sent, to help the students to know where it's sent. So I'll send it to you if you'd like to have a copy of it. And sometimes it's slow, and you get a lot of people on.
I think I could make it.
Answers has come up.
Okay.
Okay, Warren, I'll send it to you. So a box will come up, Warren. I don't know who Warren is yet. Box will come up. You can accept or reject. Fine. After you're going to get it. How are you going to get it? And this is a nice way. This is how we, instead of Dropbox, we share our documents with students. And you'll see it all. This
I'm using my own Wi-Fi, so it's not going to work.
These are my co-presenters. Can you hear us, Vanessa?
Yes. Hi.
Could you hear Ellen? Could you hear Ellen?
Oh, I heard Ellen very well. Where do you have the camera set up for this? That's interesting.
Hang on a minute. Let me unplug this. Go ahead. Oh, can't hear you. That's okay. I can hear you on the. Maybe I just better leave it the way it was. Okay. Okay. Oh. Just destroyed the sound. Let's see if I can get it back again. Uh-oh, I can't hear you, Vanessa. I unplugged my, Oh, now I can hear you. Now I can hear you.
Well, I wasn't saying anything, so obviously it's hard to hear them.
Okay, anyway, the thing is, what I have to do, I have to run this Hangout so that you can hear me, and I can hear you because I'm using the earbuds, but the people here can't hear. And also, it's really messy when I try to touch the screen, other things happen. This is the first time I've ever tried to do this. I've got my laptop set up with the Hangout, managing the Hangout. And and I'm walking. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got two computers, so you can a laptop yes. and a not. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Here's so you're there. Participants you just walked in the door.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got the laptop is the central control. The iPad uh-huh. is just doing the Hangout from the audience. Mm-hmm. This is Gloria. Gloria just came in.
Hello.
Hello. We're sort of hanging out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. We're recording this.
Excellent.
Going to embarrass you with it later.
there's nothing fans, over the years I've noticed there's nothing fans like better than having something new to figure out.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, this is Neri. She's one of our presenters. She's from Mexico. And we all work together in the UAE.
This is me again.
And this is Gloria. Okay.
I am Daniela.
Hi.
That's Daniela. Yeah. And she can hear everything. You say, yeah.
Okay.
And I set this up to start. Yeah, I set this up. Oh, okay. Sorry. We'll have to erase that what Danny just said. No, I'm just teasing, of course. But the hangup is actually not supposed to start. The hangout is not supposed to start for another 5 minutes. And people generally come 5 or 10 minutes into it. As long as it lasts, as long as the bandwidth lasts, I'll play with whatever happens here. We're going to start with a Skype call. So I'll play it. I'll put it on the Hangout if bandwidth lasts. Hi. How are you?
Good.
I wish academic conferences would get into the habit of doing this. Using this.
Vanessa, this is Vanessa. Vanessa said she wished that academic conferences would get in the habit of doing this.
Yeah.
And who have I got here?
I'm Lindsay.
This is Lindsay.
Hello, Lindsay.
Reed Spring, Missouri.
Okay, what do you do?
Where? I'm an instructional technology specialist.
She's an instructional technology specialist. Can you hear her, Vanessa?
Yeah.
This is
hi.
Lindsay.
Hello, Lindsay.
Say that again.
Hello, Lindsay.
What do you do?
Oh, I'm an instructional technology specialist.
Okay. I can hear Lindsay fine.
She can hear you fine. Okay. All right. Just
this morning, I was checking Twitter with my adjunct stuff, and there were some adjuncts and some sessionals in Canada who were complaining about not being able to afford to go to a conference because they were in BC and the conference was going to be over in Ontario. And I'm thinking, people, there's a place as big as Canada, you've got to use this stuff.
She's saying that other conferences should do this, and that she was on a Twitter feed that where people were complaining they couldn't go to a conference on one side of Canada because the conference was on the other side.
Gotcha.
So anyway, yeah, this is very experimental. So I experiment because I don't know what I'm doing generally. So people think I'm great because I experiment a lot. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
What's your name?
Mark.
Mark. This is Mark Johnson?
Johannes.
Johannes. Johannes. Mark Johannes. Sorry, I only read the first part and then thought it speed read, you know. So anyway. This is Vanessa. She's in New Mexico.
Hi, Vanessa.
And she's just in our Hangout. And she can hear you. You can't hear her because if I pull that one, it's going to...
You're going to hear her.
I'm hearing her okay. I'll translate.
Okay.
But anyway, basically, can you hear Mark okay?
I can hear him fine.
Okay. We're recording this. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you do?
I'm an ed tech coach.
An ed tech coach.
In Alaska.
Cool. Wow.
Alaska. Wow. Let's see, who's that? Who was one that the student that was in, the participant in Rezo 15 who was also in Canada? I remember his name.
Oh, in Canada. Well, he's in Alaska.
Alaska. I mean, and I've been in a couple of MOOCs with him, it's too early in the morning for me to remember names well.
He's been in a few MOOCs with somebody from Alaska. Have you ever been in a MOOC? Have you ever participated in a MOOC?
Okay.
What kind of, what do you do as a tech coach?
work with teachers and students, trying to show them technology and how to use it in the classroom.
I hope you can show us some things today.
There's a lot of good brains in
here. You ever use Hangouts?
We haven't because the district doesn't allow it.
Oh, okay. I don't know if it's allowed here. I didn't ask. It's better to ask forgiveness than it is.
You can tell Vance has lived in the Middle East for a long time.
Here's a guy who knows what to do at ISTE. Look at this. He's got his sticker book out. Oh man, he has figured it out. He's entering all the draws. He's got this organized. Can you see this, Vanessa?
Wow.
What are the stickers for? He's putting them in the. I'm not sure if this should be allowed, really, but you know, he's doing the non-digital version of copy paste. He's going to enter all these draws. It's so cool. You've obviously done this before.
Yes.
What's your name?
Steven. My name's Steven from Washington, D.C.
Yeah, Steve. What do you do, Steven?
I'm similar tech coach, technology support, and classroom integration.
Cool. Well, we just started this hangout, as you can see. And this is Lane, I believe. Is that Lane?
Yep, that's me.
Hi, Lane.
Hi.
We're just starting the our workshop today. Participants can't hear you. I can hear you because I've got earbuds in, as you can see. But then due to the sound things I've got to deal with, but what I can do is if you have something to say, ask. This is Steve. He's one of the participants. He's a tech coach. We got a couple of tech coaches here. I never thought of becoming a tech coach. That'd be really nice. I guess I'm sort of a tech coach just at conferences.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is Lane Marshall. She's in, I think it's somewhere, it's in Long Island, of course. And that's Vanessa. She's in New Mexico.
Cool.
So anyway, okay, I'm just going to go around and meet people. So thank you very much. I guess I'm kind of tending. This is Gloria. Sorry. Gloria?
Holly.
Holly. I'm so bad on names. Anyway, Holly was our first arrival today. And so let me catch Ellen over here.
If you haven't downloaded all your apps, could you download them? And Danny, who is in red, and Neri, who is over there in the attractive multicolored shirt, they can help you. Can you make sure you have a an account, a teacher's account and a student account, because what we'll do is in our breakout sessions, we're going to show you how we create the material within the app, but then we'll also kind of show you at times how to go into the app through as a student would. Right? So we're going to get started. Maybe.
Okay. Well, when you get started, don't worry. Okay. So, hi everybody else. We're going to get started. What I'm going to do is try to be unobtrusive. And
we'd like to welcome you on behalf of ISTE as well as ourselves to the workshop. We hope you enjoy the workshop as much as we enjoyed putting it together. My name is Ellen Daugherty. Mary's over there walking around. Mary Alvarado, who is walking around. She's from Mexico, so I know that there is somebody who teaches in a bilingual school, Spanish. So, you know, it'd be nice to touch base with her. Danny is helping somebody back there, Daniela Coelho in the back, in the red. She's from Portugal, and she's going to be presenting with us. And we've met Vance. Vance, as we said before, for those of you that just arrived, is part of an online site called Learning Together. And he wanted to stream this, so we said, you know what? Let's stream it. So what we're going to do is, if you look up here, the Wi-Fi access is ISTE 2015. No password. You guys can get on. And what we'd like you to do is, as we're talking, is to download the codes from either the wiki, okay, or use the QR Raptor to be able to go on. That wiki is something that we put together because we wanted you to be able to flip the workshop. We wanted to model what we do. I think some people have gone on and probably looked at a lot of things. Like your students, probably some of you haven't done things at all. So what we're going to do in the workshop is hope to model what it's like to have a classroom with a wide variety of people. We all teach at the Higher Colleges of Technology in the United Arab Emirates.
We all share the same office. We have a huge office, and we're just a stone's throw from each other. Some of us teach the same courses. And we really make a good professional learning network, a good community of practice. We're all very different, as you can see, have very different ideas. But we really come together, and I think you're really going to enjoy what we put together. So, before we begin, what we'd like you to do is we'd like you to, in a moment, turn to someone and introduce yourself, because we really believe that one of the best parts of a workshop or a conference is the people that you meet. And we would like, and we'd like to encourage you to use each other to solve problems. I think the man over here, Bert, what is that? Aaron, technology coordinator, right? You'll be soon. I think that. And we have another technology coordinator here. So what we'd like to do is encourage you to learn from each other. So could you turn to somebody, get a card,
Hi.
Can you speak to
each other? Hi. I'm Vance. How are you? You seem to like the idea of having a hangout.
Yes, okay.
What's your name?
Kathy.
Okay, where are you from?
Well, I teach overseas.
So do I. Where do you teach?
Okay, in Taiwan.
Oh, in Taiwan. Cool. And you came all the way for this because?
Actually, I'm here for the summer.
Ah, okay. You're from New York. Okay. And what do you do in Taiwan?
I'm a classroom teacher.
Teaching?
I teach fourth grade. I'm moving to second grade.
Oh, okay. And what are you hoping to get from the session here?
Just some good new ideas for apps, which apps to use, and maybe some ways to use them. We're going one-to-one with laptops. This year we were one-to-one laptops in grades 3 to 5. And next year we're one-to-one laptops in grade 2.
And you teach native English speakers?
No, I teach a mix. Some are native, some are
second language. Yeah, we all teach second language.
Okay.
So we sort of tend towards second language. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks. Yeah.
Okay. Meet someone else.
Okay.
Who are these guys back here? Hi, I'm Vance.
Hi.
It's okay if we stream you on
here.
Okay. These are two other participants that are. What's your name?
Bill
Owen. Okay. Can you hear Bill, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Got a great sound here.
And I'm Nisa.
Nisa and Bill. Okay. Where did you guys come from? Nashville, Tennessee.
And I'm from Southern California.
Yeah, the left coast. Okay. All right. Looks like we're being called back to session. Nice to meet you.
We had set up that we had a gong at. That we were going to gong, but it's not going to work because we don't have sound. Because if I go to the AirPlay sound, it's not going to work. But there are really all kinds of fun apps that students have. And Danny's got a great site. Maybe she'll share it with you, which has all kinds of neat games and all kinds of other fun things. It's a Web2O site, but many of the apps develop from Web2O tools. So hopefully you'll leave with a bunch of different information. So if I can once again encourage you to go to that wiki. We'd like you to help us to add things to it. You can tell us some of your favorite apps. The gentleman over here just told me about an app that I've never heard about. We put those on and be constantly updated and hopefully become a community of practice.
Can you still hear okay?
Yes.
And,
are we supposed to be downloading something?
Enjoy the conference as much as we enjoy the
You can go to our sites. The place where you came into learning together, there should be links to tell you how to reach the sites. If I find anything that says ISTE on it, or if you have my my slides or something like that, let me know if you have any trouble, and I'll help you more.
If you look at your name tag has a number on it, and that's the number of the group that you will be with. So group one will start here, and then we're going to move to another room at 9:30 after we have a Skype session, and there'll be different groups over in that other room. Okay, we'll set that up when it's time. But this is the group that you're in. We're going to go over the workshop organization. That's just the schedule. We'll just briefly review research because we really believe that theory should inform practice, but practice should
theory should be calculated. You know, the theory should guide it, but it's not something that you want to spend a lot of time on. It's going to be boring. The iPedagogy wheel, which you have, is what we would like you to look at to guide your practice. It takes Bloom's taxonomy and it applies it to many, many different apps, many of the apps that we won't go to. Lots of really good resources all over that sheet. You can take a look at the video in the center.
Stephen, you are an expert.
Motivation is really
great. I believe, man.
Just gives you a lot of really good information. Remember the first time I saw this, I thought, wow, this is good. Says it all. This is what the schedule will look like. This is on the wiki as well. And we're going to just have a brief welcome. Anthony Cashin from Australia will be Skyping in just a bit. He is an administrator, and he's going to talk about implementing apps from an administrator's point of view. We'll break out into our first breakout session at 9:30, 45 minutes. There are three breakout sessions this morning with a 15-minute break. The washroom is out the door, through the other doors, and to your right. We'll come back for one session, and then we'll break for lunch. For those of you that may be new to Philadelphia, right near here is something called the Red Intern. It's a place to eat cheap and eat really nice food. When I first came to a conference here, I thought, I really want to go to the Red Intern. That's a really good thing. So it's a great place to go for lunch. Tons of good restaurants. We'll come back. Mary Kay Pauley will Skype in from the United Arab Emirates in Abu Dhabi. She was not able to come. She's going to speak about games and gamification and how to use those in the classroom. Last session will be at 2 o'clock. We'll then come back together, and we'll have a question period where after we close, we complete the surveys, which we have to complete for our ISTE, we'll just leave it open for a good hour as long as you wish to share ideas and to, you know, just kind of end the day in a really nice individual note. So, this pedagogy wheel we'll talk about in just a bit, but what I'd like you to do right now, well, let's see. Let's do this, and then I'll get on with Anthony, because he's probably going to be waiting for us. We believe very strongly in that pedagogy should be what determines the tools that you use. The tools shouldn't decide what you're going to do. We use this iPedagogy to be able to look at and see what we'd like to do, what we'd like to, what skill we'd like to integrate, what activity we'd like to do. We do realize that most of the apps integrate many, many of the skills, and what we've tried to do is focus on one that will highlight the skill that we are working on. So Danny's going to be starting with Kahoot, Mary's going to use Project Bloom, I'm going to do a puzzle, Vance is going to be working with Google Docs. So those are the four that we chose to highlight, and the plans that you can find out of them. We also are very supportive of the socio-cultural theory of language learning. We believe that the tools help students to be more tolerant than they actually are, in true Vygotsky terms. We also believe that what you do collectively, what you do as a group, today, you can easily do tomorrow. We'd like to just model that. Okay. So what I'd like you to do right now is we'd like you, as we're setting up the Skype call, we'd like you to turn to somebody and set three goals. Three goals right now you have for the workshop. What do you want to learn from this workshop? Okay, so maybe find a different person or turn to the person that you spoke with before and come up with three goals that you would like to set for this workshop.
Okay, was that clear to people in the...
Yeah.
Okay, Vanessa, could you mute your mic? There's okay. A lot of banging. This is not really that disturbing or anything like that. But, if you're not speaking, if you're speaking, of course, you want to say something, you'll go on the recording. You'll go on the recording. Welcome to you. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
What's your name?
Samantha. Nice to meet everybody.
Yeah. And this is, speaking of meeting everyone, it's Vanessa in New Mexico, Des Lane in Long Island.
Uh-huh.
And we're doing this hangout. Nice hangout. So,
they can join us.
Yeah. Do you have any goals?
Today we're looking for different apps. We're looking for different ways for the teachers to use them. Technology department. For the city of Wyoming in Cincinnati, Ohio. So slightly confusing, but it does happen.
Okay. All right. So any other goals? You're supposed to have three.
No, we're just going to look at that kind of stuff and see where they take us.
Okay.
So,
cool.
Nice to meet you.
Okay, sure. Thanks. Yeah. I'm just going to do a peanut butter. Like, just something. Is it okay if I record part of your conversation?
Sure. I don't know how exciting this portion is, but
hey, what's your name?
Matt.
Matt. Okay. And where are you from?
Portsmouth, Arkansas.
Portsmouth, Arkansas. Okay. Already met Dora. Yes. Came in the door. Okay.
Now, if you would like, I can put on a thicker accent to make it seem like we talk with a thicker accent like this.
Well, you know, I come from Texas, so but you know, I'm mid-Atlantic now. Yeah, I know where you're coming from. It's all right. You got you covered there. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, if you're being recorded for a minute? Okay, there's a Skype call starting. We'll go back to that. Okay, well, oh, Benjamin, how are you doing? Nice to see you. We're going to have I'm going to put this part of the Skype chat with this speaker that we have. I'm going to put that on, and while we're doing that, I'm going to try to put some links in the text chat. I haven't had time to do that. So.
Thank you.
This is our...
So am I on the screen? Or am I on the screen,
yes,
or am I...
You're big like you were yesterday. Sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
Good morning, everybody. As Ellen said, my name's Anthony Cash, and currently beaming in from Australia. It's about quarter to 11 p.m., so it's my walk. I'd like to talk to you about today, just a little bit about the journey that we went through as a school in implementing one-to-one technology in our school in a small school in UAE, which was called Ajman Academy. You might get the next slide on. Ajman Academy, I first entered the frame in Ajman Academy some 4 years ago when I was appointed as the director of the school with a plot of land to work in, and more or less given an area where we were looking to look at a school that was of international repute, sound curriculum base, looking at improving the native language in the country, and obviously being as up to speed as any other school would be or could be with international and technology. So, you know, we came then to a crossroad, if you're not going to next slide, where we looked at where we'd come from as a school, where the situation was taking us in our learning in schools. So the signpost that we came to was looking at the different areas of flexible learning, looking at collaboration, teacher collaboration, creativity, innovation, innovation and entrepreneurship in schools, communication and how we can actually develop different types of communication, production, all elements that are required basically to support student learning and engagement, 21st century tool skill set. So, next slide, thanks. So basically explaining the content of going through just a little bit about the misconceptions of technology. Looking at the amount of money that we as schools and school leaders and districts place in the investment in technology, and also perhaps I'll go off on a tangent there to say how do we actually quantify that.
It's a wee bit of an echo, but not much.
But you can hear the
2 decades.
Yes.
Then looking at technology as the real tool for learning.
I lost my video.
Where we are situated in current terms and reality. And then just going on with a bit of...
My sound should be less disturbing to you because I put on earphones and...
And then a little bit about
that'll be better.
And the ongoing evaluation of where we stand.
Vance, can you point us towards the speaker?
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I've just got to turn this computer around.
Okay.
Where is it? There it is.
Now the next thing Vance needs is a forehead-mounted iPad slide on a strap like a miner's lamp. Okay. Then he can just sort of scan the room and.
Basically, we need from what we say at the moment, we know that technology is not a solution for education. It's a tool whereby we enable students to learn. It assists us with a variety of different areas, particularly what we use in classrooms.
I see.
And it should be based around different schools living with themed work in the classroom. Next slide. Investment. Critically, we should know why we want to invest in technology. You know, it's we spend an enormous amount of money in looking at how technology can be used in schools, but we've also got to sit back and plan that strategically. And a lot of schools that you know, I've been involved with recently have said, well, you know, how do we sit down, how do we plan this? Particularly schools in our area, where we are in the UAE currently, there are, you know, there's a major growth of schools looking to be probably 80 schools in the next 5 years that will be opening up. So there's a whole theory of thought of when you're setting out your strategic planning for schools, it's just not looking at strategic planning for the basic curriculum, etc. But a real central component of that is the whole financial commitment that a school must place. And that goes from teacher training, teacher inset, use of the classroom in flexible learning environments, and then obviously when teachers move on, the retraining of teachers and also due to redundancy. So it's really needs to be continual and sustainable. And we need to maintain that our staff initially are kept up to date with these changes. Therefore, the investment at the end of the day needs to be made very, very wisely. So I'll move on to the next. But, you know, things do change and things have changed. And I think communication has always been a key factor in bringing teacher and parents together. We're on the next slide now. Yeah. Thank you. You know, one thing that most parents have in common is experience with an education system. So as a result, what we have at the moment, and I'm sure that if we have educators in the room, that almost everyone has an opinion on what's right and what's wrong. And usually the ones that 5% who have the are more outspoken are usually one that's what is wrong with their education system. So then we have this component of what complicates us further is that most of our teachers were educated in 20th century pedagogy and methodology, which means that the 20th century is the basis of our educational experience. Now, since we're now almost halfway through the second decade of the 21st century, we need to bring everyone up to speed. And this requires not just the education of teachers, but it requires an education of parents and about their education of their children. Are we still online, Ellen?
Yes, we still are. Yeah.
Are we still online?
You then backed up a bit. Okay.
Yes.
Good. So basically educating our parents, because what we find that, you know, they no longer have can a teacher's quality be judged by the amount of homework that's assigned to students. The parents need to understand that quiet and complacent children are not necessarily signs that students are not engaged in learning, but they are. All the other way around. I mean, in the days where you know the names of the students who misbehave rather than the names of the students who have their head down. So it's, you know, we have to be realistic and understand the complexities of these Generation Alpha students that we have in our classrooms. We need to know that rows of desks are not necessarily a way that we ensure attention. And you know, if you look at the different learning environments that you have in schools now, we have single, dual desks, movable desks, and the whole idea of classrooms outside the classroom or learning spaces outside the classroom is a learning area. So things have changed dramatically over that time. So all learning is then again is not limited to one area in a classroom. This screenshot that we have at the back here is you can look on online for this. It's a really interesting shot about how education is changing, where everything is fluid. So you have this classroom which is all electronic. And obviously I didn't want to send it over because it'd be wasting time, but there's a lot of things that are out there that we should explain how classrooms have changed and things have changed in our education, the way we're teaching. So I'll move on to the next slide. These words are pretty close to a phrase that was reportedly spoken by Thomas Edison back in 1913, where he was pioneering the development of machines looking at displaying motion pictures. He was confident that these devices that would be used would, at the end of the day, help teach students. So the quote was basically saying that, yeah, well, books will be obsolete in public schools because scholars will be instructed via the visual stimuli. We're now 2015, and I think we're probably saying the same thing. And I'd like to reflect then also on the Salmon model of approach where we look at our technology in classrooms from the how we develop from the BS all the way through to the R and how we move through that in the sort of Bloom's taxonomy as well that obviously you'll be hearing a little bit more about later in the day today. So rather than just a simple, lost my words there. I'll come back to that later. Anyway. Yeah.
It's hard to present to nothing, I know.
Don't hear any voices, I can't see any faces.
He should be in the hangout.
So let's move on to the next slide. We're looking at a learning tool for technology, which is, I think, where we really get grounded and where we're going with the digital one-to-one BYOD type schools that we have. I know, we all know that it's a fantastic tool for enhancing and engaging learners in our schools. Now, what we need to make sure of as we progress through that is that we need to enable the students to have these valuable research tools. We know that technology enhances our critical thinking and our critical literacy skills. We need to ensure that our children have the can understand and evaluate the legitimacy of some of the online content that they come to. I mean, we've gone through some dramatic changes with looking at firewalls for iPads in our school at the moment. And, you know, do you allow students to access YouTube? Do you allow students to access X, Y, and Z? You know, where do we draw the line of saying where any actual needs this online classroom, if you will, through an iPad or a tablet, and saying, okay, it's over to you. There's got to be an educational journey that we take our children on to make sure that they understand what is quality and what is not quality, what is correct and what is not correct. With the amount of, there are a number of websites that are on there that are fake and false, and how do our students associate what is correct and what's not correct, I think, at the end of the day. That's an education process for them. And also as teachers, that's what we need to do, and we need to model that in our classrooms. And I had the ability recently to go to the UK and visit a couple of Apple Distinguished Schools, and one of the things that one of the teachers did, he made up a mock website or a mock animal that was being strangled by the growth of the destruction of forests. And all the children were going to write all these letters to this company who were going in a roadblock. And anyway, they said, now you need to go and find out more information. They couldn't find any information. And because children can actually believe one thing, and a way to see is one thing. Anyway, I think we know where we're going with that. But again, looking at the learning situation, it allows our youth to be more aware of the moral and ethical obligations of understanding and utilising online content. The controversy we have in our schools is, should we have a mobile phone? We have an iPad. Why can't we have an iPad? Or a phone of some district. And then we go through this whole situation saying, well, if something happens, it's then put on YouTube and the school gets into trouble and a lot of these kind of things. It's a learning experience. And we have to teach our children how to learn with this and how to be responsible and accountable. And the other day I was talking to a child at one of these schools in the UK and they said, I said, you've all got your phone to school. Now, why haven't you got your phones at school? Surely you'd be using it by chatting to each other and texting and updating with Facebook and Instagramming and all that kind of thing. And I said, no, we don't do that because that's blocked. Okay, well, that's one way to fix the situation. Well, I said, what about bullying? I mean, obviously you've got FaceTime and MyMessage and these things that aren't blocked as part of your toolkit for school. And I said, well, no, that doesn't happen in our school. I said, well, that's fantastic. That's obviously a learning process that the school has gone through, and the teachers have been very adept in understanding and following that through. And I suppose their pastoral program is also something that they've been aware of, this side of bullying in social media. In my day, when I was at school, a couple of years ago now, but bullying was kept to school. And you left school, you left the bullying. But when you leave school now, social media follows you, and it's everywhere you are. So I think we really have to make sure that there is an awareness there for students to understand that it's a tool for learning and there's a place for social media And then finally, going on to the last aspect of this, I suppose, is the collaboration and sharing of ideas, and also an understanding of that personal digital footprint and digital citizenship. I might go into the next slide, as Jason Oller has described as our digital footprint. But this, these nine areas here, which is broken down into all the elements of digital citizenship, are broken down into respect, educate, and protect. This information is available on digitalcitizenship.net, and it basically, sorry.
Somebody just stopped.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you got a little feedback there.
That's great. So the concept of respect, educate, and protect is a way to explain as well as to teach the themes of digital citizenship. So each area more or less encompasses the three topics which should be taught, you know, right at the beginning of the kindergarten level. So when teaching these ideas, the themes for each group would be taught as one. For example, the first respect, educate, protect thing would be etiquette, communication, and rights and responsibilities. And this would continue through 3, 4, 2, and 3. So by doing this, all students will cover the topics. And everyone should understand and understood the basic ideas of digital citizenship. So now I'd like to move on just about the reality of our technology and where we are. So moving to the next slide. You know, today we're really struggling with bringing teachers up to speed with, you know, all the effects that result from living in a society. We were very fortunate when we set our school up as a new school, so teachers knew what had coming to them when they handed out the paper or signed their contract. You know, we were a 1-to-1 iPad school. We gave each of our teachers a MacBook Pro and an iPad, so before we hand the iPads out to our students, they had to be proficient users. And that took a bit of time because a lot of them were coming from a Windows-based environment, and they had to understand how to use applications, how to use the iPad in the classroom. And I'm sure Alan can witness that there's been an amazing transformation of where people have come from to where they are now, to the point where we had a first cohort of people that we employed. They left at the end of their second year, which was the end of last year, and they've gone on to do the same similar things in other schools. So it's really been a learning environment for teachers, and that's all the conferences that we go to now. It's about us as being learners and making sure that students know that we're also part of a learning environment to make sure this personalised learning journey is then expands into the, you know, the community-based learning and all that type of area, which we'll probably get onto a little bit later. You know, with the realistically, we also have the profound effect on our educators' pedagogy and the methodology of delivery, and also their educational philosophy. I hark back to some of the schools that I've taught at, and I think like Ellen, I've got the flu as well, excuse me. When we look at the way that teachers teach, and teachers do have to make changes and adaptations and become more flexible in their delivery to the classroom. We also have to take into consideration where the parents have come from. So it's quite a dilemma sometimes when we're trying to lead the way in technology, that we also must ensure that the parents are part of that journey as well. And if the parents aren't engaged and understand where we're going to and how we're delivering our lessons, they will not understand, and they'll say, well, where's the textbook? I'm sure many of us have heard that question before. Again, it has a profound effect on our teachers and our delivery and their actual philosophy. Now, we also as well know that education really is a very conservative type institution and very slow to change. But I think, as this conference has highlighted, that, you know, changes are taking place. Make no mistake about it. But I think it's the magnitude of change that can occur. And one school by one school, or district by district, as we continue to grow and understand the, you know, the ramifications that technology can have in our classrooms, will make a difference. So it's still a bit of a struggle. So we have to balance the mindset of our educators. And obviously, with that, model, teachers need to model that to the students, and then we must recognise that parents cannot be left out of that process. process. So that's an extremely important process. So having said all that, I'll move on to the next slide. In Tony Wagner's book, Making the Great and Reinventing American Schools, he quotes Einstein as displayed on the screen here. But he goes on to say that we must stop and take count and reflect on the basic questions. What's really wrong with our schools? How do our proposed solutions address the problems? Are there current efforts to improve education working? If not, why not? And what more is required? So I suppose that's the essence of where we stood, where we started our journey. And the next question is just a small classroom shot of one of our classrooms at our school. You know, so we ask the questions in our schools, you know, where are we going? How will we get there? Who should we turn to look for assistance? How do we know that we're on the correct path? All these questions will come up as you start this journey of IT integration in classrooms. And then I might move on to the next slide about 7 survival skills. Good on you. So in his book, The Achievement Gap, Tony Wagner looked at Fortune 500 companies and did a survey of the top 7 skills which were required, which he goes on to in his next book, say, well, I need to change that a little bit because things have changed in the time in those 5 or 6 years. But anyway, in this original address, he looked at the 7 survival skills that Fortune 500 company managers were requiring from the people who were leaving school. And so, you know, he looked at critical thinking and said, you know, our company's senior leaders don't have all the answers and can't always solve the problems. There's a need for graduating students who have strong analytical skills. And the next graduates need to be capable of exerting leadership to lead by influence rather than authority. Then the whole fundamental reorganization occurs through company growth cycles. So our graduates need to be people who can adapt to change in order to exist. The fourth one, our graduates need to be self-directed, able to find creative solutions to tough and challenging problems. And communication, one of the most important skills graduates are missing, is the ability to communicate, both in written form and orally. And, listening is paramount to that. Assessing and analysing information, I mean, there's so much information that's available out there at the moment, so our students, our graduates need to be prepared to process the information effectively and understand the differentiations, as we said before, which is correct and which isn't. And our last, curiosity and imagination. Once upon a time, work was defined by employers, so employees had to do whatever the employer wanted them to do. But actually, employees would like the employee to come up with an interpretation, to add something, to be creative. And I think now we have the likes of Wang Xiao and Wagner and some of these other educators at the moment just talking about this whole innovation and entrepreneurship in education and how do we develop that. You hear people quote the new force or the sales force of people in Google. 40% of these people don't have degrees, but they can think out of the box. They have this creativity. How do we develop that in our schools? And, you know, you're talking about Common Core in the US. We talk about, we're partly British national curriculum, our standards and our levels. We're all about, you know, making sure we qualify our results. But what happens to this creativity and this whole innovation and entrepreneurship, how do we develop that in our schools, is something that I suppose that we need to reflect on as educators. And I know that, you know, looking at schools like High Tech High that you have in the States, and there are a number of other schools that are going in that direction as well, trying to get the students to ask the questions and look more on a community level so they can work out things for themselves and become entrepreneurs in their own educational process. So we then looked at those 7 schools as a school and tried to condense those down into 4 different types of objectives. So we look at the flexible learning, the critical thinking, original thought thinking, and then collaborative discussion. So I'll just go into the next slide that says objectives explain. So the first one we look at is the flexible learning. So here we're looking basically at the ability to provide feedback to our students in a more timely and accurate manner. Make sure that we have access to personal software through one-to-one programs where students can progress at their own speed. I think that's what we're all about, personalized learning. This works both for students who wish to review and extend their learning. So again, very, very important. Having a personal device ensures that students have access to this course information. And then they can reflect and go back to their documentation at any time. It also has allows the student to extend their learning in several areas through teacher-developed activities and research. And at the moment, we're going through writing a paper with professors at a local university about, you know, how does the iPad assist the student in their learning, but also how is it affecting the child in the home, in the social life of a family unit. And I know, I don't know, because my children have grown up and they're out the door, they're at university themselves, and they'll probably have to go through this with their children, but it does affect the social social framework of family. Children pick up an iPad because they look at parents who pick up an iPad or a device, and it goes on and on. But, you know, we have to make sure, we have to assess how these devices can assist us rather than desist us. Critical thinking. One of the greatest threats to unlimited access to information is the inability to make personal judgments. And I think I was getting onto that before about our digital citizenship and digital literacy. You know, just giving them the ability to, students' ability to find, organize, comprehend, and evaluate, and be creative with their information giving to the teachers, or sorry, to the students. So we see children in the classroom with these iPads and reporting back to groups. It might not be a keynote, but it might be through the differentiation of two or three apps. I'm sure the workshops today will engage you as learners as well to see how you will be able to do these and take a little bit from that, a bit of iMovie, a bit of this, and then engage that all together to show something that's very, very creative. So it involves a working knowledge of current technological opinions and options, as well as understanding how they can be utilized to convey the student's message. So the students then must take control of their filter and make critical judgments regarding the quality of data available. The original thinking, the whole thing about personal learning, transforming them from the, as they used to say, from the downloaders of consumers of information to be the uploaders into producers and producing ideas, and the ability to innovate, as we said, always is critical for our students to explore this process. Finally, collaborative discussion. Just looking at what studies show that the ability to work effectively and efficiently with others is a top-rated skill, sought after by so many employees or employers. So there's a synergy with collaboration as it tears together, ties together the flexible learning, the critical thinking, and also original thought. So having access to these, learning personal access to computers allows students to access information at their own speed, make judgments and assessments, create their own interpretations, share it with their class. The class then in turn assesses and judges, and then either integrates the new ideas to provide an argument otherwise. This result of the technology then is a collective entity that increases the student performance, and hopefully we'll assess this down the line. I mean, iPads are only in schools for 3.5-4 years. So as we continue to grow, we need to make sure that we know where we've come from to where we're going to, and to see the improvement that our students have made. I mean, so much money is being pumped in to just, I'm going off on a tangent here, but so much money is being pumped into technology in schools. And I remember sitting on a panel at an Arab conference recently, and they said, well, how can you show the outcome of the amount of money that's been put into education, into computerization? Because you couldn't quantify it. So I think that's something we need to take into consideration.
You know what, Anthony, you're not streaming anymore, so I'm going to turn you off and come back in. Sometimes that happens. This is something that I used a lot in my classroom when I taught at the elementary level on a Friday afternoon
we would have different individuals Skype in and talk to the students. And we made it more interactive than this. This is more of a presentation. And we may not be able to get Anthony back.
I'm back.
Yep, you're back. Good. Okay, good. Here we go. Okay, great. Thanks.
Go back to the slide. This is going preparation, implementation, and evaluation. That's where we are at the moment. So the first slide is about planning. And I think those small things that are flying into the screen about considering current research is that it isn't the solution to the solution for where you're heading with your technology. Does the school have an integrated technology plan as a part of the overall strategic plan? Have you selected a one-to-one bigger and vice school-based, et cetera, et cetera? Does the school have a comprehensive internet capability? Do they have a redundancy program to ensure that if the internet drops out, there's something that's therefore supporting it? So the planning process for us was integral. It was extremely important as we were in new school and the idea of a new school only with a one-to-one program was we didn't want to make a mistake. So this is why it works so hard and extensive. So during that planning process, I also had the ability to visit schools in South Asia. That's for Europe. I didn't get to the stage, but a little bit too far away for me to travel. But
going to do is we're going to open up the questions because it's we're starting to lose them. That sometimes happens when you use Skype. I don't know. Can anybody in here use Skype? Yeah. Do you ever find that sometimes
I use it once?
Okay. Anthony? Look.
Yes.
I think what we're going to do, if it's okay with you, we're starting to lose the connection. It might be that many of the people in the workshop or elsewhere are coming online. Could we could we open it up for questions because you're coming in and out? We don't get a lot of your so quickly open it up for questions.
Sure, certainly.
Yes, yes. Okay, does anybody have any questions about the implementation of iPads? Yeah, if you can.
Do you have a plan, school should have a plan in case when internet or technology does not work. So for case, for instance, the Wi-Fi is down, students, what are some big plans do they have in place? To support teachers when the technology does not work.
So the question was, in setting up planning for your school and the implementation of the one-on-one, you said that
sorry, I dropped the iPad.
You allowed for the fact that at times technology did not work.
Can you still hear us?
Some of the plans
yes.
That you made,
okay, thanks.
You set that up when the technology did not work.
Well, we have a redundancy program which means a backup internet. So we run two internet facilities throughout the school. So the second one is 75% of the first. An expensive way of doing it, but obviously if a school relies so heavily on the internet, it's extremely important that we have that capability.
And I visited Anthony's school. I was fortunate enough to go and see what went on. The tool was determined by the classroom situation. Students were using iPads, they were using books, they were using pens, they were using pencils, they had instruments as well as using GarageBand in the music class. So it's really the pedagogy that guides the tool usage, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
As we know, that was also asked recently to comment in a magazine about the use of textbooks, and textbooks die. Using textbooks that they're finished with. And I said, no, they're not. There's a place for them. And I think out of the four heads of school, I was the only one that said no.
Yeah.
Even though we're a fully open one-to-one school, which was quite bizarre.
Yeah.
But there is a place for education. There is a place for textbooks in education. There is. And we look around the world, there are schools that don't teleport these tools. We're just very fortunate.
And can I ask you a question? Because I know how neat your school is, and I know how much you've done. And if you get online and you even look at Anthony's LinkedIn presentation, You can see the comments. He's an amazing leader. He encourages the people who he works with to be the best that they can be, as well as the students. You are now going to be an Apple Educator School, if I'm not mistaken, or an Apple School, is that right?
Oh,
it is, okay. Okay, I just spilled the beans. Anyway, if you were to be, that could you delete this? Can you tell us a little bit what the SAMR model is, or?
Well, it's basically looking at when you start up the SAMR model, there's four steps in the process. And the first one is substitution, where you're substituting the use of an IT or an iPad or any other kind of device as you would a textbook. So the first initial case would be note taking from a teacher to the writing or typing onto an iPad or a MacBook, whatever. So it's basically a substitution of paper into a digital form. The next one is augmentation, where you're actually utilizing some of that text, adding photographs to make a in the same device. So you're augmenting just the text and you're bringing in graphics, etc., to make it a little bit different. And at some of the schools that we're visiting, what we're going to be doing in the future is looking at how we incorporate these four steps in our lessons. Anyway, the next step is the M, modification, which is the next step on, and modifying it through the use of applications, etc. And the last one is redefining it. And I think you'll be doing a lot of that last step of redefining presentations and being creative in the development using applications and applications in applications to bring out a presentation at the end. So this SAMR model is a fair bit of work that's been done on that. It's only recent, I suppose. And it links in, you can also see the linkages into Bloom's taxonomy on the internet as well, so it's not very far away from what this workshop is all about. So this whole moving from a substitution to the redefining of work is very, very important.
When I went to Anthony's school, we went around and these little kids, must have been 6 years old, they were asked what their favorite app was, and somebody said GarageBand, and somebody said ThingLink, and this kid said, I just love the App Store. I thought that was beautiful. That said it all. I think there's another question in the back.
I have another follow-up. I think as you mentioned, the backup, the internet backup, is that hardware or software is missing application?
Okay, so your internet backup, the second backup that you have in case you don't have the access to the internet, what type of program is it or what type of setup is it?
That's more a technological question, and I don't have that information with me now, but I'm sure if you send me an email, my email address, I'm sure I can give it to you. I can get that information for you and send it back.
And we hope this is part of what will happen. I know a number of you are implementing one-on-one programs next year. Anthony is more than willing to correspond with you. If you have questions as it unfolds, he can tell you can gain from his experience and his expertise. It's really good.
It's only about people helping each other.
We're all
the same journey at the end of the day. It's all about children.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're a competing school in the UAE, but we have a different demographic than a lot of other schools. So we're all very, very different schools where we are. But as for schools all over the world, I mean, I've been fortunate to visit other schools. They have given me information, and I will do the same. So please send me an email if you need any help, that's no problems.
Yeah.
Come and visit.
And he has, which is really quite neat, a whole department that is dedicated to taking care of technological information and concerns. And there were, when I was there, there were even students going and asking questions. So it's really quite nice. It's not just the teachers that go and get help there.
Well, look, we're setting up a whole student area as well, where students can go to students. So that's another thing. We're looking at an iTeam, information technology team. So students will be on that as well.
Any other questions? Yes, please. No, please, yes.
We're moving to one-to-one, and we're first starting with a cohort of 20 teachers, and we're using the LACTIC model, which by Dr. Nancy Stoller, where it's called the learners, active student-centered, it used something like that. But the question is, how do you do the rollout for teachers? Was it just a cohort, or was it district-wide? Can you explain the rollout of that?
So how did you do the rollout for teachers? The rollout?
Well, the LACTIC program, is it?
LACTIC model, yeah.
Interactive technology used.
Correct, I got to know,
yes. Yeah. What we did, we basically had, in our induction period, we have a two-week induction for staff that are coming into the school. First week is for new staff, and the second week is for all staff. And that just doesn't necessarily mean only iPad or IT information. But what it does, it looks at curriculum, pedagogical delivery, reports, assessments, etc. So there's a fair few things that we obviously introduce our staff to, including management information systems, classroom web pages, etc. So there's a fair bit that goes on in the first 2 weeks. But for our first week, the nuts and bolts of it is about ensuring that teachers, they're handed an iPad, they're handed an iMac, a MacBook Pro, I should say. They're given an introductory course, how to use that. Then we have other leaders throughout the school who then train our other staff. So they're probably champions, if you like, to assist the staff development throughout the course of the first term. And usually with the iPad then being distributed and deployed to students in week three or week four, there's a fair bit of work that's done between teachers and each level, looking at the applications that they've used before, how they've worked, looking, because we run a PYP program, the primary user program, which is part of the IPs, it's an inquiry-based approach, looking at different units of inquiry. So it's very much, they look at specific apps for specific units, and there are, of course, apps that run throughout the course of the year, where students then develop their Weebly or their web page for their own portfolios, etc. But, you know, obviously there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes, and that's not actually as part of the induction, so it's their own time. Every Thursday afternoon, you know, as our weeks run from Sunday to Thursday, we finish at 1 o'clock for our primary school. And so our staff then have professional development. Their staff give out the staff as well as curriculum and professional development. There's that as well. And also we subscribe to lynda.com. Lynda is an online professional development or service that you pay for, but very, very helpful, so that teachers can learn at their own pace as well. So it's all about education for educators.
I think we have about time for one more question. Does anybody else have a question? I've been, as I said, to Anthony's school, and I think one of the things I really enjoyed was the culmination day project that you had, where I think you brought together almost all of your inquiries and had a chance for the whole school to just show it off. Can you tell us a little bit about that, kind of finish with that?
Well, so then about primary years, we have what they call the students have an exhibition, and it's actually part of the actual PYP itself, but the students then have to do a research paper based on something that they're really interested in, which has also been linked to one of the units of inquiry or one of their theme-based units throughout the course of the year. And they have to go out to the classroom, interview people, research people. Then that research information is then brought back and then displayed creatively either through keynote presentations, through pamphlets, through this, that, or the other. People come into the school, and I think we're looking at the use of how we then break down our plastics to go back into household oil and that kind of thing. So they're looking at that process, and they had people out, and they wanted us to, as a school, to then become one of the depots for that, to collect information, to collect plastics and bottles and this and that and the other, and then to be a recycling station for that. So then we had to go to the Shake, and then I had to introduce the students to the guy that the Shake wanted me to introduce. Anyway, the process was, rather than just being school-based, it started to bring in all aspects of the community, and it became bigger than they've ever heard of Europe. And the students drove it. So it was, that was just one little aspect of it that was really interesting.
Yeah. Well, Anthony, it's been a great pleasure having you start our session. It was so nice to get it all started from the administration point of view. And as Anthony said, if you would like to contact him, his email will be up at the end, and feel free to contact you. Is that right?
Sorry, Dave, my information was rather Google. Maybe I was just trying to speed through my presentation.
No, you know what it was? We tried yesterday to split the screen and put his presentation up and have Skype up. And if I don't touch the keypad periodically, you fade away. So with Keynote, you can't. With PowerPoint, you can split the screen, but with Keynote, you can't. Keynote, we tried. And how long did we try? Half an hour yesterday, Vance? We tried to get Keynote to half the screen, and we just couldn't do it. So live and learn, right? Next time, we'll do it a little bit differently. Although Titus, who I was going to thank, said, "I'm going to find out how to do that. I won't sleep tonight until I find out how to do it." So it's challenge-based learning. It really is for us as well. But thank you so much,
you,
Anthony.
If you want to copy my presentation, please don't hesitate. I'll send it through to them with a couple of links for other areas that they can find.
So. Nice. Would you like me to put it up on your page? All of the information that I got from Anthony when I attended the workshop in Dubai, I put up on a page which talks about implementing iPads from the administrative point of view. So could I put your presentation up there so people?
I want to make a couple of annotations to links where we can find better information. So I might add that to try to fix that in the next couple of days.
Okay.
Notify you and upload that in my Dropbox, and then I'll send you an email just so it's been updated.
Okay, good. And then I'll put it up to the wiki that we have about the workshop. Sounds good. Well, thank you very much. Would you help me? Thank you very much, Anthony. Talk soon.
Okay, thanks. Have a great day.
You
too. Okay, bye.
It's so hard to talk to yourself in the wall if you've ever done this. You don't get that feedback that you get from people. So this, we wanted to start off this way. We wanted to start off just from the administrative point of view. None of the things you spoke about are on the wiki, lynda.com information. It's challenge-based learning, which takes the whole idea of project-based learning and turns it back to the students. Everything that has to do with that is all right. So what we'd like to do now is we'd like to go off into our breakout session. I promise you, we'll be sitting there. I can see a number of you are starting to fade. I can see some of you are going into the wiki, which I was really glad. That's what our students do. That's what I do when I'm on a workshop. We're going to break out. Those of you who have a one, I'd like you to stay here. Those of you that have a two, let's hope the door is unlocked by now. Vance, you're going to have to get off of your...
yes, I am.
You're going
to
be
just
going
for this
Vance.
To start.
Mary's number three, I'm number four. And what we'll do is we'll spend 45 minutes actually learning by doing. Okay? If you walk out the door, we'll show you where the room is. If you're in group one, no choice, you have to move up. You cannot sit in the back. Okay?
Okay. Well, this has been Learning Together for June 28th, 2015. And it looks like I have to get back to work now. Certainly thank you guys very much for coming along. This will be the end of the Hangout. This is all very experimental.
Vance, do you have a link for the the slides on this presentation? Or will it be up on Learning Together? Will you put them up on Learning Together?
I'll see what I can get together.
Okay.
At the moment, this particular presentation, I wasn't really aware of what was going to happen. And I thought we would not possibly have as much bandwidth as we have to actually have sustained this for this long. But it seems to have worked all well. And I'm going to have to say goodbye. And
all right. Enjoyed it.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for coming. And bye from us. And signing out. Bye-bye.